Hello and welcome to the Pony Sync for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020. If you are joining us in person or online, thank you for being here. My name is Andrew Turley. I will be hosting the meeting. And can everybody who's here in person just go around and introduce themselves?
My name is Sean Allen, and I wasted so much time before we got started that it allowed Joe, who's going to introduce himself next, to be able to join without missing anything except for my being an ass.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I've introduced myself next.
Hi, I'm Theo, and I was also experiencing mic troubles.
Hi, I'm Gordon.
Okay. Hi, I'm Roland.
Hi, I'm Jason.
That's everyone, Andy.
All right, we got everybody. All right, so welcome to the people who are here. And like I said, welcome to anybody who is tuning into this later, listening to the recording. As usual, we have dumped the issues for discussion into the sync topic. Under the 2020-08-18 discussion in Zulip. So if you want to follow along, you can go there, and we have links to all the issues that we'll be talking about today. We'll start off where we usually do, with PRs to the RFCs. And the first one is Unicode string 179.
I have not read this yet.
Yeah, I failed to find time to look at the string. I apologize, everyone. I'm just now kind of scanning through it. So, I've read the RFC, but I haven't read the implementation branch that Roland helped provided. So, trying to look that now. If anyone else has any comments, while I sort of try to catch up.
I guess we don't have anything right now, unless anybody has anything. Sorry, Roland. I was planning on doing it, but then I went down a rabbit hole, which resulted in my opening I just finally completed a bunch of stuff that I'd been meaning to do for a while, which, as Gordon and Theo can attest, resulted in my opening. It's probably something in the area of 60 PRs over the weekend.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't get any feedback, so I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll try to get to that later in the week, or try to get feedback in, and then maybe we can talk about it more in the next sync.
Okay. Not to put any pressure on Joe, who I don't believe was here last week, but pretty much, you know, I'll say the same thing I said last week, is Joe's thought about strings a lot more than me. So if Joe says it's good, I'll say it's good. So Joe, you're basically my proxy.
All right. Thanks for the pressure. I'll appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we'll move on to issues in RFCs. Issue 180, mark RFC repository as release. If any implemented features.
I don't believe there's been anything on that since the comment we left last week.
Yep, I think that has not progressed. So, moving on from there. Give me one moment. 177, changes to auth implementation.
This was I asked a question. Joe left a thing where he was like, it was basically like, in addition, we could blah, and I finally got around to reading it and looking at the previous stuff, and I didn't see blah in the previous stuff, so I asked if it was in the previous stuff, and Joe gave a nice answer.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to say about this, or can this just continue?
I think we can move on.
Okay. Final issue for RFCs, request add pipeline operator.
Nothing new.
65. Nothing new there?
Nothing new.
Sorry, let me just... Yeah, okay. So the last thing in here, is a comment that we left last week saying that if anybody's interested in writing an RFC for this, that they should feel free to do that. So haven't heard back on that. All right. Up next is PRs for Pony C. So there's one PR, 3606, allow more flexible field access, recover blocks, local fields, and syndable rights.
Right, so the short bit of this is this comes from trying to fix the issue where local fields were not assignable. So long as everything's local into that block, we don't need to apply those sorts of restrictions. The other bit is sort of identifying that the existing checks around assignment may be too strict, and the logic around it seemed very weird to begin with, so it might be a sort of an uncaught bug there. I did the original check for that came out of a PR, which I think is linked in there, where there was talk about what, basically because someone was trying to access a sendable field out of this, and there was a discussion back and forth, and sort of the ad hoc rules were created there about 4 years ago by Sylvan. But that's just the context on it. I don't know if anybody has looked at that PR much.
Have not. I thought I commented on this one. I'm going to comment.
I believe I've looked at, what's the PR number again?
3606. Wow, the numbers are getting so big.
Did you catch that, Joe? 3606?
Yes. Okay. I've sort of scanned this. I think I was under the impression that it wasn't ready to review yet, but it could be. That impression was wrong, because it seems like the last comment was just fixing the Windows CI issue.
Okay. So I think we'll leave this at, people can take a look at this and try to get some comments in there.
Right.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Moving on then to issues in Pony C. We have three issues. The first one is 3610, incorrect error message.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I think Jason's explanation there is right, that this is not it's not necessarily the error message is incorrect. It's just that it doesn't make it particularly easy for people who aren't already well-versed in viewpoint adaptation to decipher what's going on.
Well, I'm versed in viewpoint adaptation, and I knew what was going on, but I would never have guessed it, you know, from this message without looking at the code.
I'm curious, Sean, why you would have expected to see this arrow bar box instead of this arrow bar ref?
Well, because it's fun box reverse, right? And it is the box which is causing the problem. If this was fun ref reverse, then everything would be happy and would work there, right? And in my mind, at least of the way I think of viewpoint adaptation, it's okay, this is box. This is a box method. So the viewpoint on this is box, and the thing that we want here is ref. And I specifically need ref, not box, because box could be, ref is part of box, but it is not like the entirety of it. That's basically the layman way that my brain puts all of that together.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sort of. So I guess the tricky thing here is that funbox is not actually treated as funbox by the compiler. It's treated kind of as if you had typed funread, with read being the generic capability, like the hash read, the generic capability that's used for constraints. It's actually kind of a strange special case in the compiler that it doesn't actually treat funbox like funbox. It treats it like funread, and then if you it uses the generic capability of read for the receiver, such that like it can be the compiler knows that it can be either box or ref or val, and in the case of other reference capabilities, it does not do this kind of expansion. That's actually kind of a tricky issue that's rather fundamental to Pony, and I'm not sure. I've done a lot of thinking about this. I'm not sure how to get how to make that more clear. But in this case, right, it would be incorrect to say that this arrow bar box. Now, noting that syntactically, even though like this arrow bar, it looks like it's like more closely bound. Actually, bar box is that relationship between the capability and the type is most closely bound, and then the this arrow is applied onto that, right? So you start with, bar box or bar ref. So in this case, you start with bar ref. You apply this arrow to it, and this is understood by the compiler to be a set of either box or ref or val. And depending on which one that is, you'll get a different outcome on the capability. Now, if you did this arrow bar box, then you would actually get the wrong conclusion in the case of this being a ref. Because when this is a ref, like, you know, for pragmatic reasons, you know, Pony wants to return the ref view and the capability even on a fun box if the receiver was a ref instead of a box. And I hope that did not sound like word salad, but yeah. But, yeah.
I think that made sense. I guess we should tag this issue as needs context, because I think there definitely is improvement that could be made here, but obviously it's a large undertaking, because it would involve changes to how the compiler represents these things.
Yeah,
for this specific case,
I didn't want to complicate the issue, but something helpful that comes from Paul's thesis paper on generic types in Pony. Something helpful with that is the idea of partial reification, in which rather than trying to type check with generic capabilities, we always expand out the generic capabilities to every possible capability they could be, but still type checking with generic type constraints over those specific capabilities. So how that would practically affect this case is that the compiler would run through it would type check the fun box actually three times instead of once. The first time type checking it as if the receiver is ref, the second time type checking it as if it's box, and the third time type checking it as if it's val. And
right. So then it would be able to give a better error message, because it would say which case is actually caused the problem in this generic context.
Yeah, it's like so the compiler could give an error saying something like when called on a box receiver, then the type is this. you know, when called on a ref receiver, the type is this, or whichever case caused the error, it could tell you which partial reification it was traversing.
That would be very nice.
I added a comment to summarize the mostly non-technical parts of what we said here. Joe, Theo, can you give it a quick read and let me know if you think that's a good summation?
I think yes, but there still might be a possibility for improving this somewhat without, like, there might be an easy path for, like, there might be some kind of, like, low-hanging fruit or easy win we could get with improving how this is represented.
For example, what if
this, instead of saying this arrow bar ref in the compiler error, what if it had said, like, the set, like, imagine this being replaced by, like, the set of ref val and box in, like, curly braces or something, to which it says, like, okay, or even just saying hash read, although that's more obscure because you have to know about generic programming to understand the error message, so that's probably worse. But if you say, like, okay, the set of ref val or box arrow bar ref is not the same as bar ref, does that make more sense to people?
My opinion is we might just be able to refer, because the type checking error comes in for a concrete instantiation. So it's coming in here when we are checking this is box. So we may just be able to refer to the, just say this is instantiated to box, so it becomes bar box. And that won't require significant representation changes, to my understanding.
When you're talking about the specific instantiation, do you mean like a pass through the whole function, or you mean like in the type checking logic when it is when it's traversing like the type AST tree?
Well, I'm referring to the point. I can't tell you exactly where it is, but the place that we get the error eventually comes down to a statement that says bar box is not a subtype of bar ref. So within that context, we have definitively instantiated this.
Yes.
I can't confidently say enough about the internals to know which what exactly you're referring to.
Yeah. I just wonder if we already lost the arrow by that point.
I believe so. I think the only point where we have the arrow, I'm not super good with this part of the code base, but I believe that that is gone by that point. And we do have the one bit, which I believe comes in at 1750 in AST.C, which I highlighted in one of the earlier comments for this, which is where the this arrow bar ref portion of the error message comes from at that point, Joe, right? Which is like the second set, I believe, for it. If there was something that was going to be, I assume when you meant like non-invasive, you were talking about a small thing where we could tweak it. It would be probably in that, but I believe that's used in a number of other locations for printing error messages. So I'm not sure what the impact would be on, for printing types. So I'm not sure what the impact would be elsewhere on other messages.
Yeah. So yeah, what I was referring to was in that second link you had AST.C line 1750.
Yep.
Where you can actually see on line 1759 that if it's this, we simply print this.
Okay. Yeah.
And I wonder if that could be improved by like the set of capabilities that this could be.
Oh, I see what you're saying with that. Sorry. Okay. I get it. You were talking about really changing for, got it. Right. Huh. That's interesting. Can you add a comment to that effect on the issue? That might be that would be an interesting thing to try and explore. If I don't know if we have it still at that point. What is left by the time we get to is the type, is print cap.
The other possibility for an easy win, and I don't know if this is actually easy or not, because I've tried to do things like this before to improve error messages in the PonyC compiler, and I've had trouble with it. So the other thing we could think about is if type checking fails for, like, you know, we take this arrow bar ref and we compare it to bar ref, and that fails, right? If the compiler could try again and say, okay, I'm going to take the type, but I'm going to put this arrow that the user possibly omitted by mistake on it, right? And say, okay, the type checking failed. I'm going to try again a variation of the type. This is sort of a similar in concept to like the did you mean sort of thing, where we have like if a method name is typed slightly wrong, we might have a message that says, you know, did you mean to call this method? Is it a typo? Right? Where we try to find if a similarly named method exists. This would be like if we try a similar type that has a this arrow on it that you maybe forgot, maybe you omitted to add. If that fixes things, then we could say like this would be possible if the type of the parameter was this arrow bar ref. Although we might want to go the opposite way with it and say this would be possible. Yeah, we probably want to go the opposite way and say, and then there could be cases where either direction would be valid, and that's going to be the problem. It's like we want to detect that there's a this arrow on the type, and then say if the this arrow was gone, does type checking work? And if yes, then add to this error message by telling the user that if this was a fun ref, then that would solve your problem.
I think having a if did you like a did you mean for like fun ref, I think all in all that would be a win. Like it might not be what the person was really actually intending there, right? Or whatnot, but it would direct the people most likely to be tripped up for this, people who are new, into something that compiles, right? Like in the case of Stefan's actual example that it came from, his thing, you know, there's I think I went through like five different ways that he might want to address this beyond just fun refing reverse, right? Because primitive, the primitive foo previous doesn't actually need a bar ref, right? There's nothing about it that needs to be a ref. It could be a bow and going through that. But just simply having a message that says, hey, did you mean it, this would be fixed if you did fun ref reverse, I think would certainly be something that could help get people unblocked and is probably a good thing.
I'm adding a comment to that effect as well. Like I said, I've tried to do things like this before in the past and failed, although I think this is maybe a simpler case because the reason I have failed in the past to do things like this was because we expect, by the time we do type checking, we expect the types to be already resolved and assigned to the AST tree. So the compiler is not great at testing hypothetical cases, because you would require like copying and then mutating the AST tree, and it's just like not designed for that. So hypothetical cases can be very difficult to get in there. But in this case, I think it's a rather simple hypothetical case because we're already holding the type, we could consider just stripping the this arrow from the front of it and retesting with that. Anyway, I'll comment to that effect.
Sean, would you be opposed to renaming this issue to something like confusing?
You rename it to whatever you want to rename it.
I'm just gonna call it Teddy.
You're gonna call it what?
Teddy.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna go for free candy, but sure, okay.
That's your deal, man. It's your deal.
How am I ever gonna be a thought leader if you don't start calling everything free candy?
I'm just expanding on your thoughts. Everything's Teddy for me.
I don't know. I associate the name Teddy with a couple people I don't like, so.
Yeah, all right. I see what I did
all
there.
All you Teddies who are listening, you're on notice.
Just nope. Put the shovel down, Sean.
Man, it's a good thing I don't go by Teddy.
Shovel down, Sean. Shovel down.
I just said associate with a couple people.
You can still climb out of the hole.
So if anyone's listening, you have to wonder whether Sean's associating with you.
That fits my mood perfectly for today.
I'm going to take the shovel away from Sean. I'm going to move on to the next issue. 3604, assertion error on trying to assign value to cast object's property. The only change here was that Sean put a help wanted label on it last week. So I don't know that there's much else to talk about unless somebody specifically wants to say something. Okay. Great. 3596, soundness bug, compiler crash, match binding should not be consumable unless the scrimony is ephemeral.
Only change is my adding the label last week during sync.
Yep, that's what I thought. Okay, we have now worked through Pony CPR's issues. So let's go up to the top.
Sorry. Let's do 145 on Pony up.
On 145 on Pony up, okay.
Uh-huh. Because of all the PRs that I assigned to Theo over the weekend, he missed this one.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's quite all right.
I remember I saw this. I was at the dentist.
Somewhere
I was like, I got to go.
Somewhere about the time I assigned you like the 30th one, or whatever, I started to feel really, really, really bad as compared to just kind of bad.
Yeah, I was waiting to get to the dentist, so I tried to get as many as them as I could. And then I had to stop. And I think this is the one that like I saw, and I was like, oh, this might take a while. I might actually have to look at this a bit more.
And as folks can see on this one, this is a slightly older version of our new the release notes related bots that I've been working on. You'll see here a comment from Pony Lang Main with a slightly older version of the message here, letting me know that because a change log label had been added, that I needed to add release notes to the to this particular commit, which I then ended up doing. Thank you, bot, for reminding me.
Right. So first off, there's a typo in the release notes.
Uh-oh.
After the comma, it should say, but might be. They're eager missing a B before the if.
But might be.
I'll suggest, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that comment. And let me see if there's anything else. Oh, no, this isn't the one I was thinking of. This is actually very straightforward. Okay. It looks good. Oh.
All right, I'll squash and merge it then.
Yeah, make sure you add the suggestion.
I did.
Okay, great. That was fast.
All right. While we're on Pony Up, let's go ahead and stay here. So issue 118, update to reflect Enroute no longer being a union type.
Why is that coming up?
Because there's power in the union. I don't know nothing, why it's coming up.
Nothing's changed on this since May 12th.
Huh.
I cannot comment on why that would be coming up, but it shouldn't be.
Neither can I.
All right, moving on.
Okay, moving on. Issues, remove command 66. Has there been any, this one we just put a label on? Oh yeah, you've commented on it, Sean.
Yep. Yeah, I think he was just asking me if I was gonna do that. I wouldn't suspect that I wouldn't expect that I am going to do that this week. I might, but it's unlikely.
Okay, so then I will probably do what this 19th, 20th, 20 Friday's the 21st, right?
Yes.
Targeting the 21st or 22nd for release. I mean, this is the final testing ground for the all the release stuff before I start rolling it out everywhere else, Theo, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I was asking. So I want to do either early Saturday or sometime on Friday evening doing the release, make sure that the release stuff goes through fully with an actual project as compared to just the test ground stuff that I've done for it. And so I want to do that release. And if it looks good there, everybody can see how it all works out and everything. We can have a discussion at the next sync for anything that we might want to change about what it's doing.
Yep.
Before I roll it out across 20 something projects and open
right
a whole giant mass of PRs again.
Yep, that sounds good.
Okay. So let's just move up to the top real quick. Sean, is there anything you want to say about issue number 3 for Action README version updater? Doesn't look like there's
which one is issue 3?
Add release notes spot action
and okay. Okay, so I would say this is on all. I added this same issue to add all of the actions that we have, the GitHub actions. To install the release notes bot and the release notes bot reminder on all of them. Once the Pony Up stuff is good, I'm going to put it there, make sure everything goes in, and that would be another part of stuff, which is before it gets opened up onto everything. Related to that, there's a repo, ponylang release-notes-reminder-bot-action. If anybody cares about the message which goes up and wants to have any say in it, in the entrypoint.py of release notes reminder bot action, is the full text of the message which gets displayed to people. If there's anything you think that should be changed about it, let me know. It's slightly different from what was on the Pony Up one in that it also suggests a number, a file name for the people to use for the release notes. That would be the one thing with those before they get rolled out far and wide that would be good. If anybody cares to get some input on for that message. It starts at line 73 of that in that file of that repo. With hi user. you can ignore the line before it.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I was about to ask what's going on with that line before it.
So you did not review that PR. I believe Epic Eric did. So yep. one of the things for this was do not post the message more than once, right? So let's say that I add more than one changelog label. We don't want it to be labeled more than once. So if you look, there's a variable sense. Sentinel, which puts a comment which will not be seen, but which can be searched for and found so that we don't create a second comment.
I didn't know you could put comments that would not be seen. That's good.
You should see all the things that I've learned in the process of this. There's one. So any of those that have that add release notes, Andy, we can just skip over.
Okay. So I will skip over. We'll skip over action testing because we always do. Skip over changelog bot action issue 23 there. Okay. Moving on to Ponyland Corral. Issue 151, or sorry, PR 151. Add the ability to run a script after fetching or updating dependency.
Is this ready, Gordon? You didn't actually ask anybody to review it yet. I wasn't sure whether it was ready or not.
Oh, yeah, it's ready. Sorry, I forgot to add reviewers.
Okay, so I just requested myself. You want to put at least one other person and one of us will get to it soon?
Sure.
There's 16 files in here, so I don't want to try and do it now live on the go. I think it deserves like a bit more of a look with 16 files than here. So I will definitely look if there's anybody else as well. That would be good.
Yeah, I'm willing to have a look at this as well. I'll add myself as a reviewer.
Okay. Corral issue 141.
You mean 147?
Oh, sorry, 147.
So last week we said that we would add support for the get ignore as part of the running of the new command. And the person who opened that other issue asked, is anybody working on this new command? And I said, no, I'm not aware of anybody working on it.
Okay. Yep. So that's kind of that. I don't think we need to discuss that any further.
PR 41 on crypto has been closed.
PR 41 on crypto has been closed. Okay.
I have no idea why the glob one is showing up because that's also one that hasn't been touched in forever.
PR 14.
The crypto one is the MDC 2 support, right?
Oh, it says I removed this label 5 days ago. I don't know why. I did not remove that label.
Yeah.
Not intentionally. Oh, I bet I know what happened with both of those issues. My phone is really messed up at this point because I've dropped it so many times. And I have the GitHub app on it. And I do things. And it's entirely possible. Random things happen. Quote unquote, random things happen on my phone and it probably took labels off of a couple issues. I'm completely serious. Like
I completely believe you.
I touch things like I couldn't open the email app on my phone for 2 hours because every time I touched that area, it registered as one of the three app icons around it. Stuff like this happens to me a lot since the last time I dropped it, like 3 weeks ago, and realized I definitely needed to replace my phone. And the replacement's supposed to come by like next Monday. So,
okay.
So expect spooky issues until next Monday.
I've sent random. It's accidentally sent emails to people. It's deleted stuff that I didn't mean to delete. That I didn't notice. All sorts of hilarity.
Horrifying.
I should probably stop using my phone.
Yeah, you should probably like put that in a box for a while.
Yeah. This is getting into kind of dog ate my homework territory.
It'll work fine for like 6 or 7 hours, and then it'll just go completely haywire.
Right. All right.
But there's enough Gorilla Glue holding my screen together that it doesn't surprise me. Seriously, my phone is at least my screen is at least 10% Gorilla Glue at this point.
Well, glad you're getting a replacement.
Yeah.
All right. Main actor documentation action. We'll skip that because this is
same one.
Yeah. Note spot. Okay. Pony Lang website 6/10 is last week in ponies. We don't need to really talk about that.
We did pony up.
Did pony up.
Release spot action. Same one.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, PR16 on release notes bot action.
Okay.
I've been, the GitHub released this thing called Superlinter, and it's basically a Docker image with tons of different linters for things like Python, JSON, Markdown. It's got shell check in there and everything. And you basically just point it at your code base and it will either run on everything or just files that have been changed. And it would work better. I think, unless anybody has any objection, I'm going to work through setting up some rules that work pretty much with our files as we currently have them, like the Markdown linter. Hates our changelog files, but otherwise just only because we use the same title more than once. Yep. Right, apparently that's bad for reasons I don't understand, but if nobody objects, then one of my things when I'm bored sometime would be, after I figure out the rules that we'd want for this, to install it across like all like 40 of our repos or whatever that would take a thing like this. And then, you know, assign like 40 people to the PRs.
Yep, that sounds good. I'm sure we already have a couple that have, for example, shell check probably.
Yeah. I'm
sure Pony Up has shell check for the init script.
Yeah, it does. It does, because however, when we set up shell check for working for more than just a single file, we actually did it wrong, Theo.
Did we?
Yes, because it uses find, right? So if, say, you find 5 files and shell check fails one of them, the PR still shows it as having passed because find is the one that returns the final value. So super linter for any of these linters just seems much better maintained than anything. Absolutely. That we would do for those.
Yes,
so that's why I plan to do it. I've screwed up enough things where, oops, the YAML wouldn't run until later for a thing, and people approved the PR, it went in, and then the YAML turned out to be bad because, oops, it was the indentation was off by one space or something and nobody noticed, etc.
YAML problems, yeah.
Yeah, all of these things would be caught, so... Yeah, I'm going to do that at some point.
That sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Also, my only question is, never mind. That makes sense. Okay, never mind.
And a couple of the things you pointed out in my Python being not very Python, the linter catches.
Good.
Things like, hey, Sean, you don't need to put parentheses where it says while true.
I mean, those are mistakes I make every single time I move from C++ to Pony or anything else.
Yes, well, so it'll catch these things. I started looking at this because I was really worried about like being able to accept any contributions to the Python code for all of these actions.
Right.
Which this will at least catch some things, if not everything.
Yeah, I'm totally in favor of this.
Cool. All right. Let's see. Did we talk about the shared Docker image thing?
That was me closing it because I couldn't remember what it was for. and then opening it because I remembered a few minutes later what it was for.
Okay, got it.
And that might end up being closed because that image is used, that image is referenced by a bunch of things when I was first putting in the release bot and didn't fully understand how everything worked. And it's referenced from a ton of files, but it's not actually used by any of those. So when I go through and install the new release bot action across all of our stuff, once we're fully there and done with it, I'm going to go back through and grep through everything and see if that image is even still used, and probably close it out because I don't think it's used anywhere, but it might be. When I closed it, I don't remember what this is for, and I don't think this is used anymore. Then I did the grep, and I saw that it still existed in all of these places, and I was like, well, at least one of these things, which is filling my screen, might actually still be in use.
Right. So do you think that last comment is enough for you or anyone else to remember
what this is for? It's enough for me, and nobody else touches, at this point, Nobody else touches the shared Docker. If anybody starts helping with the shared Docker repo, I will start leaving like more reasonable messages. But in the meantime, I just kind of assume the issues there are reminders to myself.
Okay.
One more thing related to the release stuff. After this Pony Up release, I'm going to have everybody look at the release document that it created and talk about a couple things that I think are missing from what it'll put. It'll still be better than just dumping the change log into releases that it currently does, but I want to have something after this Pony Up release at the next sync to have everybody be able to look at and have two suggestions that I would have for things that I think that we should have added to all the release notes and discuss how we would want to go about the process of having them included, because really we only discussed previously how we would want to do release notes for individual items, not some other stuff that I'll go through when we get there next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, anything else that anybody wants to talk about before we end the meeting?
I have something I want to talk about with Theo related to automating last week in Pony.
Oh, yes.
But it's not really something that necessarily everybody else has to stick around for. So if anybody else has anything, I would say we do that first.
Okay.
There's not very much time left, but I was looking through some stuff related to Roland's implementation branch of the string Unicode RFC. I do think that one area of potential concern that we should discuss is the current approach for converting between string and array U8. I think there are a lot of Pony applications that currently rely on the conversion between string and array U8, not doing a copy of the data.
Oh Lord, yes.
Buffer. Yep. And the approach in the branch, if I'm understanding it correctly, currently does seem to not strictly copy the data, but actually iterate over it with an encoder and decoder when going to and from an array.
Yeah. I think
Let me jump in there. I think I can. I mean, what I tried to do there was, if the encoding that you give, so if UTF-8 is the encoding that you select when you do that, when you put in, try to create a string from an array, it validates that the array is valid UTF-8 encoded data. But it doesn't copy it. It only does the copying if you go to a different encoding, because it's storing everything internally as UTF-8.
Okay. I think that is helpful. Although, let's see. Is UTF, sorry, is that a primitive? Sorry, it's not, that's beside the point. I think that there still may end up being concerns with that, with the validation. I don't know, Sean, what are your thoughts on that and iterating to validate?
So why does it do the validation?
I guess the idea was if you gave it some bytes that were invalid UTF-8, all sorts of other stuff would go wrong later on. So various other functions in string wouldn't work and would probably blow up in strange ways. So I figured.
I think it would, if there could be examples of how it would blow up later. I'm imagining the scenario that I'm imagining right now, Joe and Roland, right? Is I want to take in, I'm taking in JSON over a network socket where it comes in as an array U8, right? And I want to slice and dice JSON as quickly as possible for returning something. I think that Joe right there, that is probably like looking at that as, or even just, you know, reading JSON as a stream of bytes off of anything, network, anything else, and then wanting to slice it and dice it and being able to do that in the most performant way possible. I think looking at that is one possible use case and making sure that we can get the maximum performance while not sacrificing correctness or safety would be an important thing to address and make sure that we're hitting that.
One thought I'd like to raise is you know, the potential of, I haven't looked in depth at this, so this may or may not be actually feasible, but the potential of, what I was picturing for this was something along the lines of like that operations that relied on, you know, finding a character index would be encoding aware, right? And that they would be essentially as they were in the process of navigating to the correct byte index based on the character index that you asked for, if they run into an invalid byte sequence, they would have some way of handling that, possibly. I don't know what the right way to handle that is, but you know, the issues with the encoding not matching the expected encoding would become issues at the time of indexing into the string, rather than at the time of converting to and from an array. That's kind of the expectation that I had about like the approach. And I'm not saying that's like absolutely the right way to do it, but I think that also would probably get closer to Sean's goals in terms of, which I would also share, in terms of like being able to performantly deal with a buffer with byte operations for things like parsing a you know, JSON stream, and then substrings within that larger string would become treated as strings with more possible characters. In which case the character index versus byte index becomes relevant at that point. Like, so it seems important to me that one, that like the bytes wise operations remain available on string, and two, that like the people who are using the byte wise operations don't suffer the performance consequences of the encoding specific stuff. And that you only deal with encoding-related performance consequences when you are using an encoding-aware operation, which I would define as an operation that needs to navigate by like character index rather than byte index. And that's kind of like my worldview at the moment regarding string. And I'm definitely open to having my mind changed about that. I'm not trying to present it as like an ultimatum or whatever, but that's kind of how I look at this problem space.
What is the issue with accessing these byte operations via accessing this other array? So if we have an in under the UTF-8 encoding, it shouldn't need to do any work to decode, correct?
Before we get too far along, I want to point out that it is 2 o'clock. I don't know if anybody has any, if this is a conversation that we want to continue to have right now, or is this something that we...
I'm up for continuing, but if others need to leave, that's fine.
I'm up for continuing.
Yeah, I have some time.
Okay. I technically have a meeting right now. So I
would say this is Andy, you should stop recording and you can leave, and we'll say goodbye to folks, and we continue this off the record, not because we're trying to hide anything, but because you need to go, and that's how Zoom works, you know?
Okay. Thank you for everybody who called in today, and thank you for everybody who's listening. We'll get the recording up soon and talk to you all next week.